Welcome to the Autistic License Podcast. I'm Shauna and I'm in Carrickfergus in Northern Ireland.
And I'm Leo in London.
We invite you to listen in on our conversations as we get to know one another and experiment with unmasking in an autistic space. We talk about what it means to discover we're autistic as adults, especially with established careers as therapists. We hope to increase the visibility of autistic therapists, to contribute to the evolving neurodiversity dialogue, and to co-create an engaging and dynamic space. We extend a wide welcome to all. You don't need to be autistic or to be a therapist to join us, and we trust you'll find something of interest and connection here. So, nice, thanks.
Well, apparently I'm exhausted and I look dreadful.
Well, the signs coming across the screen to me would suggest that, even if you're not saying that. So we have to take into consideration, you know, what someone, how someone acts, even if they're not actually being real in the words that they're using.
That's a very good point. And it's something we are highly trained and attuned to.
Yeah.
And how about you? You haven't been well. How are you feeling?
I am feeling okay at this point. I get kind of fatigued quite easily. So I kind of am okay like this. And I think, oh, I'm just perfectly normal, normal energy for like about 2 hours maximum. And then I get a total wave of tiredness and I just can't think anymore and can't, if I'm standing up, can't stand up anymore. And then I just have to sit down and rest. So there's like, it's affecting, and even the things that I can do, I'll probably be okay talking now because I haven't really like talked today or like kind of sparked in that kind of way, but it would be like a limit. Like the rest of the time, even though I can maybe do things for 2 hours, it's only like very basic, like monotonous kind of tasks or like pottering around doing things really slowly, which to be fair is the way I normally do everything anyway. It's not like I'm ever really very efficient in getting tasks done, but it kind of it's not really very like it's not taxing mentally, so yeah, I just it's just whatever's going on in letting the virus kind of leave. But I don't feel unwell, I just am not very sharp, and well, not for long periods of time anyway, you know, because I can be. I've had some good insights in the last in the last while. I'm not going to say that I can't, because I think sometimes when you're sick as well, like there's like things consolidate a bit and then the best stuff kind of just comes to you whenever you've got the capacity.
Well, your mind goes, your mind's got the time and space to go into a different place.
Yeah.
As we're rhyming today.
What do you mean? Why are we rhyming?
Rhyming. Like, I wasn't on purpose, but I said time and place and different space and
Very good. Yes, and I didn't pick up on it. I'm sorry. Very good, very clever.
Yeah, whatever. So this might lead us into talking about spoons. We talked either at the end of the last, no, after the end of the last episode, about maybe thinking about the difference between energy spending and levels between as a comparison of neurodivergent versus neurotypical, but also of you and me personally.
I don't remember. What episode are you talking about?
Well, it wasn't the episode. It was when we last spoke and recorded. I think it was afterwards, and you actually did ask me to make a note of that, and that's what I've just looked up.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Said that would be a really good episode and you should write that down. And so I did.
When we last recorded.
Or edited. It might have been during the edit session.
Or the one that went out this week.
Yeah.
Well, that's good that I told you to record it because clearly I've got no memory of
none
it
at all. None whatsoever. So we were going to talk about it just in terms of, in general terms, as a reflection and a bit of education on those very well known differences about the recouping of energy. Do you remember we were talking about doing nothing versus doing that I might actually drive a train for 2 hours and that might invigorate me and give me spoons rather than deplete them, those differences.
Well, I don't remember that. I don't remember. No, I don't remember about the I don't remember the train thing. I remember. Okay. Do you know the way sometimes whenever I'm talking, and you look things up on your phone to supplement the information?
Uh-huh.
And I say, I don't know why you use your energy to do that.
Oh, yes.
Because I would never use my energy to do something like that in the middle of talking.
Uh-huh. And then it was, for me, it was actually something to bring me down. And there was that too. So what we were thinking, as you remember very clearly, was that we could talk in general terms about that. But as we always do, it would come back to how we personally do that and then how that interacts with our relationship, because you and I do that differently.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what we talked about. Exactly. And then here's another bit, which maybe I'll edit in later, which is the slightly the nod towards a commercial break, because Shauna is doing a talk for the organisation Ought Angel, which we both appeared on last year. But they brought her back for a one-to-one conversation with their founder, Caroline Hurst. And the title of that talk is Autism and Therapy. And that will be happening online over Zoom on Monday, February the 12th, 2024, between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. GMT, and I will put a link in the show notes for you to get your tickets for that. I've already got mine.
I'm so impressed. You're just my PR person. Thank you. Yes, I will be doing that.
Apparently. And are you looking forward to it? How are you feeling about that?
Well, actually, it's a pre-recorded. The part of it is a pre-recorded conversation that I'll be doing with Caroline. And then the rest of it is a Q&A session. So I had to delay the recording because I wasn't well. So actually it's not being recorded until Thursday this week. And yeah, I mean, it'd be cool. I like... You know, I've met Caroline obviously before, and we were both at Autscape in the summer.
Yes.
So we kind of met in person as well. And I love the fact that it's recorded, because then, you know, it kind of feels like if I make a total mess of it, then it can be like redone. It's much less scary than doing it live.
As we did last
year.
Yes. Yes. That's right. But that's really, yeah, that's a very autistic friendly way to do something like that, isn't it?
It's a lovely way to do it.
You don't have the pressure of getting everything right first time, or under explaining or over explaining all the things that we worry about sometimes.
I mean, it'll probably not need re-recorded, simply because it's being done in that kind of
atmosphere.
It'll go together.
It's like us when we do this now. The more that we do this, even though obviously it's a podcast, it's by nature it's pre-recorded, but we find a little, you know, behind the scenes glimpse, we edit less and less as we go on.
That's why the episodes are getting longer and longer. Sorry, folks.
That's maybe they're love. It's a bonus.
So I'm just wondering, Leo, whether you want to update our listeners on what happened yesterday, what arrived yesterday, to give you a prompt.
Just to hopefully draw a line under the car saga of the last 3 months. Oh, how dull. The car was delivered yesterday.
Yes. And much excitement.
I got to have excited, even less about the actual car itself, other than setting it up. And putting my toys in it, which is not exciting to talk about, I really don't think. But, you know, there's a dash cam and there's a little wireless dongle to make Android Auto work in a way that I like. All that stuff. I spent a couple of very pleasant hours in a car park of a retail park.
A kind of a bliss date, to be honest.
A bliss state. That's nice. Really? What did you tell me? What you noticed that brings that phrase to your lips?
Just loving it and describing all the things that everything did. And I think you're now like trying to tone it down because you're being super sensitive to the this idea that people won't want to know. But there's
you're
no
right. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Wouldn't want to
you
know.
You are right. That's exactly what I was doing just then. I was thinking back on how much of the time this podcast, which is ostensibly about two autistic therapists, talked about a car being stolen and insurance and hire cars. Oh, Lordy. Yes,
but it's two autistic people and this is our lives.
And yes, it is. And absolutely the idea that I need the car, the car set up in a particular way that works for me is a very autistic experience and expression.
Yeah.
And I'm not done yet. So that was just setting up the tech. And then next will be actually all the stuff that lives in the car. And we have spoken both about this in our lives, what we keep in the boot of our car, that again is a very much a feeling comfortable thing rather than things that are practically needed by everybody. And so I have a nice big boot tidy, which is like a massive case with compartments in that will fit in the boot of the car. So I haven't done that bit yet. I'll be doing that this week, probably largely tomorrow when I've got some time. And do I need this? This is the stuff for the dogs. This is how many bottles of water I need in this compartment. These are the emergency things. There's the first aid kit. There's the fleece, walking boots, towels for the dogs when they've gone for a spontaneous swim in Connaught water. That'll be, that's the living part of it, more than the tech part, which I've done. And it does make me very happy doing that stuff. So that's hopefully rounded that off.
Hopefully there will be no more car drama.
No dramas. No more dramas, please. Oh, and just got an email from whichever department, passport office, I suppose, that my passport's been printed.
And that's amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
But just over a week.
It's not been very long at all. And have we heard back yet from the parking point?
No, good leading point. But that's their obligation, that they have to respond within a certain
time.
Within
what length of time?
Yeah, I don't know. So let me look that up afterwards. Because they've got no incentive whatsoever to deal with this because I've already paid.
No, of course not.
If they were waiting for my money, I bet you it would be a different
every
thing
day
altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's good that we have each other to, you know, put the world to rights with.
Yeah, it's just good.
So, you know what it almost feels like today is like we don't have very many spoons, really. And we're just kind of hanging out.
That's good enough for me.
And that's good enough. Like, maybe that's very normal as well, and that's exactly illustrative of what you said that we had wanted to talk about, that we just have to tune into that and be real about that and not pretend or manufacture anything.
And most likely, because our conversation has been quite choppy so far, here's a useful bit. Now let's see what happens. Oh, no, that didn't work. You know, and I think that that's great, actually. I think that's going to be really useful because what will probably happen after the edit is this might be the shortest episode we've done. And that would be so apt if the theme was energy.
Energy, yeah.
We could only squeeze out 22 minutes today or whatever it is.
I know.
And I think that's fine. And we've both been unwell in a very similar period of time, which has also had an effect and has an after effect as well, recovery. Let's say something about spoon theory. Most people, everybody pretty much in the neurodiversity world and communities will know about spoon theory, but other people will not. And spoon theory, I will post a link to the Wikipedia entry on spoon theory because it's a nice summary and it gives the history of it. But essentially, somebody found the need to have a unit of measurement for energy. In other words, human energy, just how tired we are, how awake we are, how much we can do, and how that is compromised in certain physiological and psychological experiences. And this person was in a cafeteria with a friend trying to explain. She had chronic pain, I believe, and was trying to explain why things that seem like nothing to her friend, like brushing her teeth or getting dressed or whatever, are huge efforts for her. Yeah. And she went to the cutlery tray and just grabbed a whole pile of spoons and went, there you go, that's how much energy I wake up with. If I want to brush my teeth, that's going to cost me 3 spoons. Takes the 3 spoons away from the pile. If I want to get dressed, that's another 4, et cetera, et cetera. Get to a point in the middle of the day, there are no spoons left. So I can't do anything. And it's the problem with this kind of, why this is a great explanation is because she made tangible something that for so many people is not only intangible, but limitless somehow. It's it's not a finite resort. So this is why people will say to you, it's kind of like social drinking. Oh, go on, just one more. You can have just one more. There's something similar that goes on with the spending of energy and productivity and even just functioning in the day, which is, if you could just finish this off and then you can go home. If you could just do this one more thing and then you can rest. Uh-huh. And what people cannot see, because they don't experience it, is an absolute, you know, you're not just running on vapors, you're done. And nothing more can be done until you've recouped your spoons. And so spoons is a unit of measurement for energy, productive energy. And we then have a language around that. I haven't got the spoons for that. Yeah. Or I am a spoonie. Lots of people have spoonie tattoos just to identify that's one of the things, a model that they live in.
Yeah. And in some circumstances, you can get like extra spoons if you're around people or doing a certain thing that allows you to get like a bonus spoon. Well, I do occasionally. And I guess some people have that a bit more, but in general, you have a finite number. I think that's the difference. So, you know, the way like some people would say, well, I just energize around, like maybe non-spoonies might say, like, oh, well, it's okay, just go here and you'll get recharged, or do this and you'll get recharged. Like for me, it's not very often that I can get like an extra spoon. There is a finite resource, and some days I wake up with less than other days, and I have definitely got less now because I'm not well. I've got this massive wave of tiredness over me right now.
As you're talking about it, yeah.
Right now, but well, just before we started talking about it, and so I'm being very mindful of that at the same time as a part of me that wants to get into this conversation. And so there is a little bit of like, what do I go with?
Can I just say then something over the top of what you're saying there is, even if we just get through what we're doing right now, which is an overview, that's enough.
Yeah, cool.
These are the permissions I think that we both need. Mm. You don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good.
And that's the other difference with many spoonies, as we're going to call ourselves, I think, you know, using that language, is it's not just that we run out of energy at a different rate or what looks like an unexpected rate, or that it's finite in a way that it doesn't seem to be for some people, but we recoup energy in really weird ways sometimes. I mean, often it is, it's doing nothing, or it's sleep, or it's rest, or it's a gentle external stimulation like some brain candy TV or something. And we both enjoy that. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is doing something or being with somebody. And this is something I know I have mentioned before in terms of my practice. When I sit with autistic people, neurodivergent people, they charge my battery very often. And that's weird, because that doesn't make sense, because I am literally spending energy just by being awake, by being attentive, by processing what we're saying, by making connections, by having a relationship. And I can come out of that with more energy than I went in with. That's another peculiar thing. We can generate spoons in a way that doesn't really make sense, certainly not in a physiological way.
This is what I'm wondering is, is energizing the same as getting extra spoons? Because for me, it's like I can feel energized in that. And it certainly doesn't always deplete spoons. Like I wouldn't actually, I don't necessarily use my spoons for something like, you know, engaging with, you know, in with people in therapy or engaging with you or engaging with like people that I'm on the same wavelength with. That doesn't really take my spoons. So it might not even be a spoon issue. Like that might, that's just an energy issue. But spoons are used. Well, what are you giggling about? Well,
because we're getting into definitions here and I don't know that we are very clear on what that means. There's
we might not be.
What you're describing to me, there's loads of crossover, but you might have a really good point there. Maybe I'm not even talking about energy, but the reason I think I am is because I know that I can be really low on spoons, running on vapors, and then have a conversation with somebody that I'm very attuned to, whether that's professionally or in my private life or whatever, and come out of that not exhausted anymore. And I haven't rested, but obviously I have rested. And that's the thing that looks weird. We can do things and they can be spins. They can be stims. They can be something that's entertaining. It's not necessarily physically stopping or physically resting. And that, I think, does generate energy. In other words, I can feel more awake and have more to spend.
Yeah, well, I don't know because my brain's not working very well at the minute, but I wonder whether I'm sort of saying something that for me, I can certainly be energized and I can certainly not be depleted, but the spoon level might not actually change except on certain bonus particular situations, but you can't count on it.
No, I couldn't
just say, oh hey, let's spend time together so that I can get spoons.
That's right.
Like you certainly get me through something better and I'll feel energized and I'll feel better, but I don't know that it'll actually give me extra spoons. Like spoons are still very finite, except for those. I keep thinking of like a video game or something.
Yeah, where you get a bonus life.
Where you get like an extra one if you run through it, but you can't guarantee that it's definitely going to appear.
Yes.
So, but you really, really, really can't live your life thinking that you're going to get a bonus spoon or that you're going to like.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
We manage our predictable spoon spends all the time.
Yes.
And yeah, you're right. If it so happens that we get to experience something which gives us a lovely boost and we can go for longer or do more, that's great. But no, you can't plan for that part. Not in my experience. AutisticLicense@gmail.com. What's your version of this? What's your experience, whether you're a spoonie or not, of what it is that drains you? What is it that charges you? And is it predictable? Do you manage it on purpose? Are you just becoming aware of it now because we're having this conversation or because you've read some stuff on social media about it? Because there's loads.
There's loads, but actually, is it different for us as autistic people, as neurodivergent people, than it is for people with chronic health conditions, which is where it originated?
That's right. That's right.
And also, does it depend on your personality type? Does it depend on naturally whether you recharge with other people or not? Like, what is it all about? Because I guess, you know, I guess I kind of, like we kind of started, oh, let's do a general definition and spark off that. But now we're kind of changing the definition and wondering. Are we talking about, is it all spoons or is there more?
We are wondering about that. That's what I'm experiencing. You've raised a question. Is that spoons? Is that some other kind of force that we don't necessarily have? Is there something like relational energy? Isn't there?
There is relational energy. So, but is that then, does that affect spoons or not? Like if we were together, you could, there would be like a relational energy that would help us to cope with the day, but it wouldn't actually bring any spoons back. Like,
yeah, I think
I'm
for
still,
me.
And I might be the magic spoon giver, but
you are 100% the magic spoon giver. You know it.
But it might not be like, well, no, hang on, though. One day recently, You weren't very well.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Do you remember this? And it was just a one day thing.
Yes.
And
so a lot of autistic people have all kinds of gastro complications sometimes, or IBS, that kind of thing. I had.
Well, I'm not going to go into.
I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just saying that I was affected in that area, and it was brief, but it really, really wiped me out for the day. I mean, properly physically wiped me out, and I had to be lying down, and I slept loads.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're referring to.
That's what I'm referring to, and like, I would not have been able to replenish your spoons. I could help you to feel better in a sense because you were connected to me, but I couldn't give you spoons.
It wouldn't have mattered
what I had have said.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you weren't going to get the spoons back until your body slept.
Exactly. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you started saying, and I was coming in agreeing with you, that you can't plan on the external giving. You know, there's no replacement for rest and or some of the other things that might charge us up. They might be stims, they might be spins.
Yeah, but even those stims and spins wouldn't have got you better. Like, you couldn't have been able to focus on those kind of things. But the, like, 20 of your spoons just got wiped out in like the first hour of the day, or second hour of the day, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And like, then there was no replenishing. It was just, I've used up all my spoons for the day. I'm not going to be okay till the next day. And then the next day you were really upbeat.
I remember because
I've never actually like known you whenever you've had one of those kind of days physically. So because you had played down, as our listeners know, you had played down the whole pneumonia, stroke, COVID, stroke, flu situation, and told me for like ages, I've never really had a cold like this. And then it was like, oh, well, you know, it's quite a bad cold, but yeah, I think this is the way it's going to go. And because you had played down all of that, then I didn't really believe you that this would necessarily get better and that you were telling me the truth.
On the day this week when I was unwell.
And I told you that. And then the next day, because I could hear your energy the next morning, that was only then that I kind of thought, okay, then that was something different.
There's a whole season in this if we wanted there to be, just thinking about all the things. And this is the point that all this makes. It's so complicated. There are so many threads. There are so many it depends-es, as with everything else autistic. There are so many variables and intersections that you can do your best to plan your day and how much energy you have available on an average. But there are always going to be things that come up that will steal spoons away from your day unexpectedly. And we don't know whether we'll be able to counter that with something else or not.
And I guess that, you know, so at the minute, like, I'm trying to work out when I'm ready to go back to work.
Yes.
And I'm kind of going, on certain hours, it can feel like I am, but like, I kind of thought that I was at the beginning when we started talking. But I wouldn't have been, like, if I was in a session now, because I've had these big waves of tiredness and, you know, like, I couldn't have focused the whole time. I'm really tired now. So, like, it just wouldn't have been possible. So, like, we just have to be really careful with things like that. And it's sometimes, like, obviously we work with autistic people and we can just be honest with them. Like, I've being honest with people, like, that I'm over the worst of it, but I'm really fatigued, and that, you know, something to that effect I've said to different people, you know, and it is that kind of, I won't know until I start doing it, but I'll be really, really careful not to rush back before I can predictably do that. But actually, you know, that is kind of hard to know, and it is different for us. Like, I think maybe if you're not a spoonie, you know, you don't have a finite number of spoons. Maybe you can push yourself through it. But like, I can't push myself through it. You know, I really, it wouldn't matter if I sort of told myself to push through this or anything else. There comes a point when you just can't, like you just couldn't the other day. And, you know, maybe that's something, you know, where I guess that with our, with the people in our practice, we probably are way more understanding whenever things just take people out on the day, know, and you know, also our people are very understanding when we're not
when
okay.
Yes, and that happens.
You know, like that, that it is just like, okay, I get it. And we're like, we're very, very privileged to have that. But that's part of the, you know, like understanding that is part of what makes therapy between autistic people very, very different, you know, because the people that we're working with get that we are not making excuses, you know, whereas...
No, that's like, really, really, you know, profound.
They
that's
really,
so important.
Really get that we don't have to apologize or to pretend or to dramatize something, like, you know, it's just, this is what it is. I can't actually think, and I therefore won't be able to focus. You know, it's like, we don't, and we don't have to explain all of that, but they kind of get, it's not like you have to, I don't know, I think that sometimes people, maybe non-autistic people or people who are not comfortable with being real, or they're still kind of, you know, it's almost like I've got to be at death's door before I cancel a client or something. Like, some people might think that, so I'm going to need to edit this. But, you know, I guess that idea that you have to be really badly ill to cancel, and or you have to be not be able to push yourself, you know, and I've just said that we can't do that anyway. But what am I trying to say? Like, we don't have any need to make it any bigger or any different than it is. It doesn't have to be, I've been throwing up all night and I really can't make it in. I'm so, so sorry. You know, it just has to be, I'm autistic and I'm not, oh, I don't know, I've just fucked that whole thing up. But there's something I'm trying to say.
I hear you. And it's that kind of, when you're working with other spoonies, yes, you don't have to explain in the same way. It doesn't have to be as life-threateningly dramatic as it might be in another job, or to get through to somebody that this isn't a preference, this is an I can't. And that's why I was so delighted to find spoon theory as a set of words and language that I could communicate to allistic people close to me in my own life. Why it's not just that I'm a little bit tired, or why don't you go and have a lie down for a bit? No, I'm come to the end of the road for the day.
Yeah,
it is not personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you're boring me or because I've been overworking. Yeah. It's because for me, energy is a very scarce and finite resource in a way that it isn't for you. You being the other person, not Shauna, you. And that's why I love the language. I love the fact that that concept exists, so that you can turn something that feels infinite and ethereal into something finite, solid, and scarce sometimes.
Yeah. Feel like the very fact that I'm really grasping to get words.
Yeah, we're hearing your spoon scarcity, are we not?
I think so. I think that just like
I can see it.
And it's really important to just be in that.
And what do you want to do now? I'm not even saying what do you need to do now. It's probably the same thing. If there were no obligations at all, and there aren't really right now.
Well, I have some parenting obligations.
Yes, of course you do.
Because my daughter's still at home as well. She's still not well. She's still recovering. And also, as an autistic young person, I'm very, very mindful that not to send her back into school without enough spoons to deal with school. Like, she may not be coughing everywhere anymore and be physically, you know, coming back to health, but in terms of her resilience and in terms of her spoons, she's also, I also have to bear that in mind. Like, I can't, to be very mindful of that with her, because going back into school, there's no, it's not like you can, you know, take it slowly or go back half days. Like, there's a lot of demand straight away, plus all the catch up. I mean, if somebody told me I had to go back to work, and not only did I have to see the people that I have scheduled, but I also had to somehow fit in all the appointments that I hadn't fitted in, I mean, fuck's sake. Yeah. Like, but that's effectively what she's going to get told when she goes back to school. Like, do all your homeworks, do all your classes, plus copy up and do all the stuff that you've missed. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. No.
That's I mean, that's really important. You're right. And so what do you need now?
You're bringing it back to me. What do I need now? I don't know what I need now. Tell me what I need now. What are you getting at?
Well, we're experiencing this with you, the very thing that we're talking about. That you are low on spoons, words and thoughts have slowed down for you or are becoming a little bit trickier to negotiate around. Mm-hmm. I know this very well from my own experience.
Yeah.
When you're in your therapy cabin right now talking to me and talking to the listeners. Yes. So if you were to leave there, or no, you may want to stay there. Once this call ends, what would you most kind of naturally want to do?
Well, I tell you what I'll naturally do is I'll go into the house and I'll check and see. My daughter planned to do some art because she has some overdue coursework that she needs to do for her art, and she really won't go back to school until that art's done. Okay. So I'll check and see how she's doing with that. But the next thing that I'll do is the thing that I do pretty much when I'm here on my own during the days in between my sessions. I go into the house and I go and find the cats. Because the cats will probably usually be lounging somewhere, and to touch them or to snuggle up with them, or, you know, like, that'll bring me down as well.
Calm you down, you mean? So,
yeah, bring me down.
Well,
what does that mean to you?
It can depress me, make me sad. Don't bring me down.
It can. Okay.
Sorry, I just...
Downregulate. I mean, downregulate. Yeah, that'll... Yes. So I guess what I could, you know, I'll probably go and find them. If there's one of them that, you know, is somewhere that I can squeeze up with them, then that'll be very attractive to do, and to be with them. And quite often when I sit down, at least one of them will come to me anyway. So that is probably what will happen.
I really want to come back and talk about pets, the effect they have on us, and the autistic relationship between us and pets, and also in the wider sense, nature and being outside, the importance and the experience of that, that's maybe, if not specific, but certainly dialed up for autistic people like us.
Yeah.
But definitely, you have cats, I have dogs, and we do have really important relationships with them, and they do give us more than just, you know, affection. And there's a real therapeutic, I mean, this is very well known for everybody, isn't it? There's the huge therapeutic value of the presence of animals.
Yeah.
But I would love to talk, and I'd like to think about it for, maybe this is something I actually want to go away and read other people's experiences of as well, just to see, because I bet you there's language around that too that I'm not even aware of.
Yeah, but I'd like us to talk about it before you go away and read up on it. Because we do, you're right, we do have a lot to say about that, and we do often, when we're talking to each other, like, the cats or your dogs will be around, or they'll feature, or like, we'll send photographs or, like, describe what's going on with them at a certain time. So they are very significant. And definitely, you know, obviously my daughter's here now, she's not normally here, but the first thing that I'll do is it's about relationship. It's where the cat, you know, and I need to find the two of them if they're not together. And then, you know, I mean, obviously sometimes I don't snuggle in with them, but, you know, they're, you know, often there, I will touch them. I'll definitely touch them, you know, whenever I see them in between clients every day. So yeah, that's what I'll do. And, you know, if my daughter has like done some art and wants a break, then we might watch The Traitors. You know, The Traitors is my that's new it. Spin. So we might do that. That would be a, that would be a treat as well, because we're on the last episode of the first series. So like we're way behind everybody else in the UK, like, you know. But we only started it whenever we got sick. So there's like 12 episodes or something. So we're on the last one, and so we're about to see what happens. And we haven't read any spoilers, so we have no idea what's going to happen. We're going to find out today.
I'll put a link also to the Traitors program page.
So yeah, there's some context. It might not be accessible if you're not in the UK.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there are probably
is there missing out?
Where well, we there'll probably be international versions of it, like there are with so many of those kind of reality-ish or game shows.
Yeah.
But that's okay. True. We will definitely speak more about our relationships with animals and what's mutual there, because there's a lot, I think. And again, please drop us a line at autisticlicense@gmail.com, even if it's just a photo of your pets. We would love
please
to see
do.
Them.
Yes, and that I want to say nice. About our Facebook
and
page.
Yes, I was just going to go on, but you go ahead.
I'll put
another link in the links page.
Okay. Yeah, we're really, really excited because we're getting like friends every day joining us on our Facebook page. So if you look up Autistic License, you'll know it's us. It says Autistic License, it's got our logo. It says Shauna and Leo in brackets so that you know that it's us. It's not a business page. It's like a profile page. And on that page, then we are hoping to sort of create a nice, comfortable space for to build community with each other, with all of you. We really want any engagement that you are willing to give. There's no pressure on anybody, but we're kind of posting some stuff and we're inviting comments and shares, and doesn't even have to be words. We want pictures, we want pets, we want everything. But it's so exciting. It's so heartwarming for
us to just
see that and get the requests coming through. And like, you know, we don't know where you've all come from, but it's really like tangible to like see these are real people and they want to be friends with us. Like that says something to us more than, you know, you don't have to write us an email to say anything
to us.
Like just do that. Just say you want to be our friend. Then that's what we get out of it. So we're really, really touched.
Yeah. And it's one of the aims, isn't it? That's part of building a community within the community.
Yeah. And like, so I set up like a business page off of that, which is Autistic License Podcast, and got something like 9 followers. So we're very much getting the message that you guys want to be friends and not look at articles. So that's okay. That's perfectly fine.
Really,
let's do the friends thing. And, you know, if join the other page if you're interested. I'll still kind of put stuff on the other page around like interest and links and different, you know, media personalities, you know, like actually autistic people and PDAers and that, because I love that stuff and I love having someone to share that stuff. But it's, you know, it's absolutely lovely that the vast majority of you like just want to be friends and just want to see like pictures out Leo's windows and like things like that.
I must do more of those.
So you have to do more of that. Leo takes really good pictures.
So have a look at the show notes on whatever podcast app you're listening to us on or website, and you'll see a bunch of links. There'll be a link to get your tickets for Shauna's talk on February 12th at All Angel online on autism and therapy. And I'll put a link to the article on Spoon Theory as an overview and the program page for The Traitors so that you can see what Shauna's obsessing over with her daughter at the moment, and the Facebook pages, both of them. I'll link to those too so that you can join us there and stay in contact in between episodes. Lovely. I think that's plenty, isn't it?
I think that's us done. Yes. Okay. Thank you all for being with us.
Yes.
Lovely indeed. To spend time with you.
It always is. Thank you. Bye bye. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Autistic License podcast. We're very open to feedback and suggestions for future topics. And you can connect with us via Instagram, Facebook, or at autisticlicense.com, or by email at autisticlicense@gmail.com. We spell license the British way, LICENCE. If you're interested in therapy with an autistic counsellor, you can visit thrivingautistic.org.